Gavrilik, who's unmarked as he streaks away into an open goal.
Hit the boundary line.
Oh, the post is broken. Matthews hit it.
Boy, oh boy, wow, wee. He shoots towards goal. What more can you say?
Hello and welcome back to the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. I'm Mick Warner, back with Glenn McFarlane and Macca. 3 weeks in a row, all roads lead to Carlton. Extraordinary day yesterday where just everyone expected, including David Teague himself, the way he spoke in his post-game press conference after the Giants lost, that he was going to be sacked, but he hasn't been. And it begs a question, what the hell's going on down there?
Oh, have they, g'day Mick, have they botched this, Carlton? Unbelievably, they're either being, they have been disrespectful to David Teague through it for sure, there's no question, but they're either being cruel now or they're indecisive. And whatever way you look at it, it's been embarrassing for Carlton. And I think you'll find they'll never own up to this, Mick, but there were a lot of phone calls to the Carlton Football Club yesterday from members saying, what the hell is going on? Really, really weird, weird situation, isn't it?
Well, it was put to me that Luke Sayers is really big on, you know, proper process, due process, and he wanted to present the review to the senior leaders, including Teague and maybe Brad Lloyd and others, and then they would have the opportunity to respond to the findings or the recommendations of the review, later this week. So in the meantime, Teague and Lloyd and others who are under pressure are taking part in the exit interviews with players and maybe ending careers when they don't even know if they're own. It is messy, there's absolutely no doubt. And the other factors, of course, is, well, you know, if it is right that they're calling on Ross Lyon, as we've heard, and, you know, there's several factors maybe at play there. And then there's the big elephant in the room, and that's Alistair Clarkson, who you hear they're just continuing to desperately throw money at. You don't really know what to believe, Macca, but if you're a Carlton supporter right now, you're just thinking, what's going on with my football club?
Well, exactly, and it's really well put. So if Luke Sayers, and we trust him at his word that he is in full on process, why was there going to be a full club meeting yesterday that was all of a sudden then withdrawn and didn't happen? It's really confusing for everyone involved. And what I do feel for is the actual people involved. As you said, David Teague and Brad Lloyd have had to sit through exit interviews of players, not knowing whether their own careers at the footy club are gone. And what worries me is if certain people do stay in roles at that particular club, how much damage and how much damage is done to relationships and trust in that footy club. It's just been handled appallingly, I think. And as bad as other clubs have handled things this year, and I'll certainly mention Collingwood and Hawthorn, this looks completely bizarre what's going on at Carlton now. And, you know, I think it needs a quick resolution as we head forward.
And don't forget, there's a group pushing for a spill of the board at Carlton. And I'm sure that they'll be gaining more momentum as this plays out. David Teague, I think Teague will be fine. Like, you know, those coaches that reached out to him, Damien Hardwick, he's handled himself with class. And if he doesn't stay at Carlton, I can't see how he can stay anyway. But he'll get a senior assistant job somewhere.
No doubt. And you know, what he's gone through. And he's handled himself pretty well, I think, all through it. He's got a little bit angry in the last couple of weeks. And understandably so, with the lack of support that he's had, and he's been copying it in the media. And I think everyone sort of blames the media for this. I can't see how the media is at fault here when certainly the footy club hasn't anywhere stepped out to try and support him. The complete opposite. Like, there's been a bit of a whispering campaign against David Teague. And so I think he's actually come out of it pretty well. And you're right, he'll get another job somewhere, maybe not a senior coaching job, but he'll certainly get another job somewhere else if he wants it.
What have you made of this sort of byplay going on in the background between Teague's manager, Liam Pickering, and Ross Lyon, and even Teague himself, a few things that he'd said in the post-match about, you know, Patrick Cripps? It's what to make of all of that?
There's a bit there, isn't it? There's a few layers, I think, there, Mick, as well. Just on the Pickering thing, there's absolutely no love lost in a sense with Pickers and Ross Lyon. And I think he, you know, it's two weekends in a row, I think, that Pickers has actually, you know, been frustrated with Carlton. And, you know, his man, David Teague's got a contract. But I think it was the interview, obviously, on Footy Classified and or the sales pitch, as Pickers likes to call it, that Ross Lyon gave the other, you know, last week on Footy Classified, that really, really hurt Pickering. And if you think that it's hurt Pickering, what it's done is it's also hurt Teague. And Pickers, obviously, as a manager, is copying that. And just on the Crip stuff, like Liam is a media person as well as a manager. But you can't help but think that there is a little bit of ill feeling there. But I mean, what he did say was a fair bit of it was right in a lot of ways, Mick. Like Patrick Cripps has had a, we love him, he's a great player, but he's had a frustrating couple of years, hasn't he? You know, and he basically said at the moment he's not an A grader. He is an A grader, we know that. Is it injury? He said we don't know, but it was quite pointed that David Teague talked about the future of the club at the press conference on the weekend, didn't use Patrick Cripps' name in that bracket as the way that he used Wietering and Walsh. Did you find that interesting?
The whole thing's interesting, mate. I'm just trying to think while you're talking. So if it's untenable fatigue, which I think it is, and Ross Lyon's been ruled out, then...
Has he been ruled out, do you think?
Well, if there's people on the board who've got doubts, I don't know. Look, and then Clarkson says no. I'm sure the money's just getting bigger and bigger by the hour for Clarkson. He's played this absolutely beautifully. And Hawthorn would be in the background thinking, geez, well, if he goes, then we don't have to pay that tax. So, look, it's a watch this space. It could change any minute. But I want to talk about your footy club, Collingwood, because they're sort of they're avoiding the spotlight a little bit. But you had the big story last night that Don Pike had pulled himself out of the race to coach Collingwood. So who's going to coach Collingwood?
So, Mick, that was a story we were able to get up last night on Don Pike not coaching, not wanting to coach and not going through the process to coach Collingwood. Got that story up with John Ralph. And just on that, Don was, you know, only a couple of weeks ago was the favourite to win that particular job at Collingwood. But he's decided him and his wife, they want to stay in Sydney and they want to continue that Sydney premiership build that they're working towards, hopefully, with John Longmire. The position now is from Collingwood's perspective, they're certainly interested in Alistair Clarkson. That's looking more and more unlikely. Carlton is the same. Clarko's telling friends that he needs a year off from coaching. So that will be interesting to see. It sort of leaves, a few candidates left, but certainly one heavily in the frame is Craig McRae. We know he's, you know, that might surprise a few people, but it shouldn't. He's an outstanding coach in his own right. He did some great things at Richmond. 2019 VFL coach, but was there through that three flag period, and he's made a really big impression in his one season at Hawthorn, and he's been credited with helping to turn around the Hawks at the back end of the year. So he's right in the frame too. So we'll wait and see whether Rob Harvey gets an interview. I reckon about 2 weeks. I reckon the Pies' decision will be made.
Because I always thought he might have been a bit sort of softly spoken to be a senior coach, but when I heard Jonathan Brown say, "Hey, Craig McRae, not only is he a very astute football mind, but he was the guy that organised the footy trips," then I knew that he was the guy. Because, Macca, it's just a game and it's all about relationships. And the guy who runs the footy trip, he knows all about relationships. So maybe Craig McRae, you know, you've got to start somewhere. Alistair Clarkson, he was a first-time coach. Collingwood are going through a proper process. So I give them a tick for that.
And Carlton are not, is that what you're saying?
They're going through a dog's breakfast process.
They are. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more in that regard. And just go back in the history books. I know you think that I love a bit of history, and I do, Mick. Look at the success of first-time coaches this century. And go back 20, 25 years. The really successful coaches are the first-time coaches. Sure, we have plenty that fail. But you look at, you know, Richmond took a punt. Hawthorn took a punt. You look at the first-time coaches, they're the ones that are coaching premierships.
Well, you got to start somewhere, Macca. What about the Pendlebury situation? Is that, as a Collingwood man, upset you a little bit to see Pendles? I know he sort of walked it back. I thought he was a bit unfairly attacked, actually. I thought it was a bit harsh the way that, you know, he was slammed for talking about potentially moving clubs with a coaching thing. I reckon we're mature enough for a Hodge Mitchell type scenario, but it looks as though Pendlebury will stay.
Yeah, I think he was probably always going to stay, Mick. You can see what he was trying to do. It just probably could have phrased it a little bit better, I think. And I think he regrets that now. It certainly did put a few Collingwood supporters off guard, thinking, what the hell's going on? But he's clarified that, you know, early on Tuesday, he clarified it by saying, sorry for any confusion, just wanted to clear up. I want to be a one-club player and finish my career at Collingwood. I'm open to coaching at another club after my playing days, Collingwood fam. I'm not going anywhere. So that's good for Collingwood. I think he'll be a good coach down in, you know, as he moves on further. And he's probably seen what happened with Nathan Buckley. I think he wants to coach as an assistant coach elsewhere other than Collingwood. And I think Nathan Buckley even privately would now say that he probably wishes he had taken up an option of maybe coaching elsewhere. Tony Shaw said the same thing, if they had gone and been assistant coach elsewhere in another system, it just might have helped in a sense.
He would have been one of the highest paid players of all time, Scott Penderbury, too. I reckon he's been around $1 million for 10 or 11 years, and so he should be because he's a superstar.
He's a star, yeah, absolutely.
Just before we go to the break, it's fantastic to see two finals down in Tasmania this weekend. Probably not so much out of goodwill, but the fact that they're struggling to move cameras around. So they're going to have two finals in Launceston and two in Adelaide, which is going to be great. That atmosphere in the Essendon Hawthorn game this year, Macca, was the best atmosphere just about of any game I've seen, apart from maybe that Dreamtime game in Perth and Anzac Day. But back when we used to have crowds, remember those days? So
that was good fun.
But a good thing for Tassie, but even better news for Tassie. And I just cannot understand how they made such a mess of this last week with the Carter report. But the pressure has finally brought the AFL and the Tasmanian government together. And it sounds as though they've committed, and this is partly to make sure that the Kangaroos North Melbourne, Kangaroos Hawthorn contracts can be renegotiated for next year, which is important cash for the game. But there might be a vote early next year, or certainly a more serious discussion around the commission table with the presidents about a time frame for a Tasmanian team.
Yeah, I think we'll get some clarity on that. And I wonder whether this is all just worked out in the sense that we've got the two finals down there, whether there was a little bit of argy-bargy and we need, you know, the Tasmanian government trying to push the AFL in this direction to lock in those two games and potentially even one next weekend. So what's going to happen is that the AFL and the Tassie government have agreed to a position that, you know, for a Tassie licence to be put to the presidents next year. But it's obviously going to be in line with the finalisation of the funding model from the AFL. So that'll go to the AFL presidents next year. So they've agreed to that. Obviously, Gill had a chat with Peter Guthwin, the Premier, yesterday to sort of work through that. So at least we're going to hopefully have finally what we should have had already, which should have been set in stone from the report, a sort of timeline that we can actually have, you know, for a decision on Tassie, because I think that's what Tassie wants, a timeline for a decision. We can't just keep, you know, kicking it to the curb all the time. It needs a timeline, and that looks like what we're going to get.
All right, after the break, let's have a chat about Big Max Gawn, the hero down there at Cardinia Park. What a great game that was. And the fact that his baby will be 36 weeks in the oven on grand final day. Now, Macca, Lee Matthews is one of the hardest, fiercest men I've met in football, and not just I've met, everyone knows that. And he had a rule, a steadfast rule that he'd say to his Brisbane Lion players during that glorious triple premiership run, that he didn't want them to have sex, I think, in January. I'm not good at maths, but he didn't want any babies in September, because the last thing he wanted, you know, was one of his best players being unavailable, because he can't be at the grand final because he's got to be at the label board. So it brings me to Max Gawn now, and a few, I think Nathan Jones has got twin girls. He's probably not going to figure in the team, but Max Gawn is saying 36 weeks his wife will be on grand final day. Now, I had our first son, William, came at 36 weeks. So it can happen.
It can.
I hope for Melbourne's sake it doesn't. But it got me thinking about this crazy sort of a few years ago when Scott Pendlebury left. It looked like he was going to leave the game at halftime at GWS. And Sav Rocker famously got a police escort. And one other one that I remember is Sean Higgins, who, when he was playing at North, he sat up for the birth of one of his, maybe his first child. He was that exhausted that, remember, Ryan Burton just KO'd him.
That's right.
Actually, yes. Quite a famous tribunal case. And he was just completely out of it, Sean Higgins. Right. And that's why Burton was able to pick him off. But what's the conundrum, mate? 64-year premiership drought or even more for Melbourne? Or does Maxi... and don't forget, you got border complications as well.
You have. I know. That's the thing we haven't even thought about, like border complications and the like. That's just unbelievable, isn't it, when you think about it? They've got to work out a way to get Maxi back. But, that is extraordinary. The beauty of this game is that it always throws up a story. And how good was Max on the weekend? He's never flustered. He doesn't appear to ever be flustered. So even with this baby scenario, I'm sure he wouldn't. And we saw the fact that he missed the shot against Geelong a few years ago. And I don't know about you. I actually felt confident. I spoke to someone from Melbourne yesterday who said they weren't quite as confident when he had the ball in his hands. But I just felt that it was almost this, I don't know, this Melbourne season almost seems almost destined, doesn't it, in a strange way?
Oh, yeah. Well, I love that, what you say there, because I just, the longer it goes, the way that game panned out, to be able to come back from 40-odd points down at Geelong, I think this is the year. I think it's going to happen. If they can stay injury-free, Oliver's just a beast made for finals, and Petrarca is there as well. The forward line looks like it's clicking. Fritch kicking seven and Brem Brown looks like, and as you say, Max Gawn is just probably the best ruckman. And that defence with May and Lever. Macca, the only thing that's going to stop them, I reckon, is injury. And I reckon they'll account easily for Brisbane. It's a shame, just an absolute tragedy in a football sense, that the MCC members won't be heaving this September.
Yeah, it is when you think about it. I'm sure they'll take it, the long-suffering Melbourne supporters, but it would be, it's been a long time since the curse of Norm Smith. And how good would it be, admittedly, yes, there's not going to be fans there, but we've had some extraordinary times in the last 5 years when you think about the Western Bulldogs, a club that I thought would never win a flag in my lifetime, win a flag in 2016. You have, Richmond in 2017, even back to 2005 when the Sydney Swans won their first flag. I love stories like this and footy clubs that haven't, won in a long, long time. Having Barrett for Collingwood, it took a while for us to win, that 14th flag as well, Mick. So I just think it's a great story, Melbourne. You make some really good points about. I love the connection of this group, and even Max Gawn saying that when he took the mark and Stephen May, you can see, go up to him. And Stephen May said something along the lines of, I still love you whether you kick this or not. And that's just the way Melbourne's getting through at the moment. They've got this real connection that I think is really rare and probably hasn't been with a Melbourne footy club in my lifetime, if I think.
No, he's been incredible, mate. And, if you think about, people were criticising Melbourne for putting all their money in the back line when they recruited Lever and May on huge, huge money. But, in the end, they already had those star midfielders and Gawn and the like, in the team. So you've got to go and spend the money somewhere. And it's a credit to Melbourne. And Geelong have sort of given themselves, they've got to go the long road now, having coughed that up. They've got to play Port Adelaide with the Never Tear Us Apart frenzied crowd. I assume we're close to capacity in Adelaide, aren't we? So
no, we're not, Mick. We're about 15. We're about
15,000.
Yeah, but they're trying to up that at this stage. So it may be a situation where they get more than that. We'll have 10,000 in the Tassie games, and yeah. I'm sure that they'll try and get that up. You'd really think you'd be able to get 20-25, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, I on Port, I saw them live against the Bulldogs, and the Dogs were pretty good early. Well, they were great early, and just Port, the way they were able to get the game back on their terms and then reassess their forward line and get the smalls in there, and Robbie Gray and who kicked the other crucial goal.
Robbie Gray, Mick, is he the best clutch player you've seen, in terms of kicking important goals, that I can remember in, 10 to 15 years? He's just got that uncanny knack to kick that clutch goal that the team needs.
Yeah. Dixon's the worry, I reckon, for them. And Georgiades did a hamstring, but they're going to be hard to beat. And that will heap some pressure on Chris Scott because, they get to this stage every year and then they just don't quite seem to be able to to get the job done. Just on some of the other finals, the Battle of the Bridge down in Tassie, Buddy, 8 goals from 1,000, which is sensational. That's going to be on for young and old, that one.
Yeah, it sure is. And they don't like each other. And that's the thing I love, you know, sometimes rivalry, you beat rivalry up as, you know, part manufactured in a lot of ways and, you know, cue clashes and garbage like that. But these two teams hate each other. And obviously you think about Buddy, who could have ended up at the Giants. There's been no love lost between those two clubs. I remember when the Giants beat them up a few years ago in a final, it was just absolutely amazing. Yeah. I think the Swans will win, but I reckon on all these finals, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, you wouldn't be locking into any particular favourite. I reckon it's as open a finals campaign as I've seen. I think Melbourne's clearly the best team with Geelong as a little rider there as well. But, gee, these games are very close and very tight.
Yeah, Giants are a little bit disappointing against Carlton, but they were guaranteed to play finals, aren't they? I still got so much respect for GWS as an expansion club. I've said this before, but what four prelims, a grand final. They really built an excellent culture.
We jump to conclusions sometimes. He's coached very well, Leon Cameron. At the end of last year, he was under enormous pressure. So was Simon Goodwin. So sometimes
Canelio is a weird one, isn't it?
What's that, sorry?
Canelio is an unusual.
Very weird one, very unusual. And there's whispers around, Mick. There's all sorts of whispers around that. And it may not prove to be correct that that potentially he could find a new home. And, in that sense, and that contract would be obviously with someone else, but paid a little bit by the Giants. But they've done a great job, I reckon, in building that footy club. I agree with you. The culture that they've got there, and they've lost a lot of players too, as opposed to the Suns, who were just a consistent disappointment.
All right, let's go through the four games. Give me your tips. Port Adelaide, Geelong, Friday night, Adelaide Oval.
I'm going to tip Geelong. I'm going to tip them to fight back. That loss last week was catastrophic in the sense that there were like five or six moments in that last couple of minutes that you've got to have your time again. So I'm going to tip an upset there and tip Geelong.
Yeah, well, hopefully they get their best players on the ground and not sitting on the interchange bench. I think Tom Stewart is too big a loss. So I'm going to go for Port Adelaide. Battle of the Bridge, Sydney, Swans, Giants, Launceston, 3:20 Saturday.
Sydney for me on that. I think it'll be a hard-fought game, but I just think the Swans, he won't get the eight, buddy, but if he kicks four, gee, we're going to be looking forward to the next weekend, aren't we?
Yeah, Melbourne, Brisbane Lions. So the Lions got in there. That was a great drama, wasn't it? And really well called by Hutto. How good was to have the live ladder sitting up there and Chris Fagan going off his rocker.
But, sensational. He's great to watch, Chris Fagan, isn't he? He is just unbelievably good to watch. And you're right about Hutto. Seriously, how good a caller is Hutto?
So you are a big historian. Was that a better last round than the 1987?
I think 1987 gets it because it went right to the wire and they're all played at the same, you know, pretty much the same time.
And they had crowds,
but the last time a player kicked a goal, you know, late in the game or after a siren to get top spot was Stephen Kernaghan back then. That was amazing. And it suited Melbourne back then in 87 out at the, it was called the Western Oval back then, not the Witten Oval, but this was fantastic. A dead rubber pretty much on Sunday. Was a bit flat on Sunday, given how bad the Dockers were. But I think Melbourne will beat Brisbane. I'm pretty confident with that. They are all set up to hopefully go all the way.
Yep, me too. I think Melbourne. And then the final game in Launceston, the Western Bulldogs, the Essendon, which is a great effort from the Bombers. You know, our very own Jay Clark said they go 0-9, 0-10. And it certainly looked that way early. But isn't it been incredible the way that since Worsfold left and Rutten was able to get control of the environment himself, they've recruited astoundingly well. They were lucky that all those Fantasia and Danaher actually wanted to leave because they got rid of guys who weren't invested and they brought in some exciting kids. And then they got guys like Hind, Draper Looks, right. 2 metre Peter, fair dinkum. Gold Coast Suns, like
they're still paying a couple of hundred grand of his salary too, Mick.
But he couldn't get one game last year at Gold Coast. So it's little wonder that the heat is rising on Mark Evans and the administration at the Gold Coast Suns, because it's what's the word I'm looking for? Treason.
To send a guy
like that with a future fourth round pick.
Yeah, it's bizarre, isn't it, when you look at it? And they've done, I mean, Adrian Dodoro cops an absolute whacking, and sometimes deservedly so, but what he's been able to do here, he's a very canny bloke. And the fact they were able to get Nick Hine for basically nothing, Peter Wright for nothing, and to get those young kids, they've really surprised me. And full credit to Ben Rutten as well. You know what he's done, Mick? And this is a good thing, that it should be a lesson for all coaches. He's embraced the past. And embracing the past, what he's done is he's building the future. And I really love the fact that Essendon turned away. We wrote a feature not long ago, probably late last year, about with John Ralph and myself, about how Essendon had sort of moved away from its Windy Hill sort of roots in a lot of ways. And Ben Rutten's taken them back. And I'm sure it's not just Ben Rutten, but they've done a fantastic job, Essendon. I think the Bulldogs will win. I really do think the Bulldogs have got one last shot at it if they make some changes. But they'll give it a hell of a shot, Essendon. And just imagine if they break that finals drought. It's been so long, hasn't it?
Well, they beat the Bulldogs not that long ago, didn't they? Pretty easily.
Correct.
So, watch this space. So when we come back from the break, you're Mr. Moneyball, you know, where all the players are going, the free agents. We'll talk about players like Adam Chera. So, Mackie, you've got your weekly, I think bi-weekly, Moneyball column, and it's all about player movement. Is Chera going to get to Carlton?
I think he will, Mick. I think that's the scenario there. And you know, I do the column, obviously, with Jay Clark and John Ralph, who are all over these sort of things. But I think he will end up at Carlton. There was a lot of talk around last week and the week before about whether if Ross Lyon was coach of Carlton, whether that would stop him from doing it. It won't. We've sort of written that wouldn't be an issue if it does come about that way. So I think he'll end up at Carlton. What is interesting, I reckon, Mick, is you know, the flip side to that and how it actually happens. Could Stephen Cornelio be thrown into a three-way deal to go to Fremantle, and obviously Fremantle, Carlton and the GWS Giants do a deal that gets people to locations, and Cornelio goes back to WA? That's a possibility, I would have thought. One thing I want to ask you is Basher Hooley, the, you know, who obviously was carried off in his retirement the other day from Richmond. Is there any chance, do you reckon, like, he wanted to play on? There's absolutely no doubt. Is there any chance, do you think, we could see him bob up at another club?
Well, he certainly, you know, before he retired, was of the view that he wanted to play on and that he had another year of footy in him. And whilst I did see he played some good footy, even in the game where he got injured, his last game against Gold Coast, where they got smashed and it sort of derailed the season, he was moving pretty well. And but I would like to see him retire, because he's got his foundation. He's a Richmond person. By leaving the club, you know, what does that do with his foundation? But if he's desperate to play on, he will. The only thing is, I interviewed him in 2016 or 2017. It might have been after the first premiership. And he was actually saying that he was thinking about retiring then.
Wow.
So, and obviously they got onto the run and he, you know, they built that incredible environment. So I doubt it. I really do. Having said that, it's the reason why Gold Coast and Fremantle would have been looking at Pendlebury so closely to offer that coaching arrangement, because that's the sort of thing that you need to get those type of people into your club.
Absolutely.
to fix the environment. You know, Hodge did it so well at Brisbane. I mean, imagine if Freo could get Pendles and Cornelio.
Wow, how would that be? That would be amazing, wouldn't it? Now, I'm going to put the Pendlebury full stop on it. He'll stay, but I know what you're saying, and I think maybe we're getting a little bit more conditioned to seeing players move around on sort of semi-coaching deals, but Pendlebury is a bridge too far for me, being a Collingwood supporter and having seen so many of his games. But I think we're going to have to get used to it. It's going to happen more often, isn't it?
Well, it didn't happen when we were kids, because you didn't. That was, you know, that most of the players sort of worked as well, or, you know, but it's a profession.
Who was
now.
The it biggest happened. Shock of who was the biggest shock trade of your childhood, Mick? Was there one that really crushed you?
Yeah, Jeff Hogg to Fitzroy in exchange for about a thousand. It's an incredible deal. I think they got Broderick, Gale, Dundas, and maybe one or two others. But I was pretty sad to see.
Definitely, you almost killed Fitzroy
because he kicked 10 in the. Just excuse me while I let the family in the front door here. You talk, Macca.
I will. I'll talk. But yeah, Jeff Hoggie. That's right. My one. If we're talking about heartbreak as a kid, I grew up absolutely loving Billy Picken. Had the number 25 on the duffel coat and the like. And then Billy Picken had to go. There was a few ructions at Collingwood at the time, and he had to go to Sydney and played a little bit at Sydney, but then fortunately came back to Collingwood. And Peter Moore, the after the 1982 season, up and left. Two Brownlow medalists joined the Melbourne Football Club and Ron Barresi, and that was Peter Moore and Kelvin Templeton. So those were the two trades that hurt me. The one that would have, Mick, was that Peter Dacos, when he was unbelievably sacked by Collingwood, can you believe that the great Peter Dacos was told to retire? He considered briefly playing elsewhere, and thank goodness he didn't.
I remember that was Jeff Brown was the player agent back then, and I reckon Mike Sheehan broke that huge Peter Moore story.
He may have, that was a huge story at the time. And of course, the AFL did as they do today, they do the same thing. They set up the big round one clash the next year, Melbourne and Collingwood. So, and then there was someone who had a stupid banner, More Filth, which was really harsh and really unfair. And I think they threw him out, the kid.
It wasn't the biggest recent ones I can remember sitting back in the days we used to be in the office. And I always enjoy it when a big trade story is not broken by a journalist, but an email from a club. And there's two that come to mind. We're sitting all in the sports office a few years ago, and the inbox, ding, ding. And it was, first one was that Buddy Franklin had, the Giants put out an email. Remember, the Giants broke the story.
They did that
Buddy was going to Sydney by putting out a note saying that, you know, it was with regret that that Buddy Franklin will not be seeking a trade. Well, you remember that? And it was like, whoa,
yeah, I do.
Sydney Swans.
Massive. But
the even bigger one was a couple of years later. I'm just trying to think. I think it was the Giants again who put out an email about Tom Boyd requesting
a
trade
to
the Bulldogs, which, you know, that was that just came from absolutely nowhere. The number one pick.
Many things hold fire, do they? Not many things are because there's so many journos out there now chasing trade stuff and things like that. So imagine that, and I've spoken to both of them, but imagine the phone call the next time after that Buddy deal between Clarko and John Longmire. That would have been absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, I don't actually do spend a lot of time in the sort of trade space, but there was one that I did that you might remember years ago where Nick Riewoldt was courted by Eddie and Collingwood.
Yes.
And it turns out there was a fair bit to that. Remember Nick said he was on a plane and he was about to take off and he got a text from Eddie. if you've ever got one of those Eddie McGuire texts, they go for about 700 sentences.
You've had a few, Nick.
Yeah, not recently, but it's a fascinating time of the year.
It is, and I reckon at one stage, Mick, I'll give you my list of the team that could have played for Collingwood, the almost Magpies who Collingwood almost traded into and couldn't quite get there, and it includes, you know, Nick Riewoldt, Jonathan Brown, and Bernie Quinlan before his Brownlow medal. So there you go, hey.
Anything else to leave us with, Macca?
Oh, plenty. We're just going to watch the Carlton scenario, desperately watch that. And I think we did a lot of farewells really well on the weekend. I think that was the beauty. Footy was great. We said farewell. You know what now comes? The awkward part, and we get the sad farewells where guys get the tap on the shoulder. So I think there'll be a few of those coming through in the next few days, and that'll be sad, I reckon.
All right, Matt. Well, we'll talk to you next week after week one of the finals.
Good on you, Mick. Thanks, mate.